This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Big contributions at certain points and whose, you know, memories get forgotten over time just because there's so much around them and so many Hall of Famers and this, that, whatever. Even in the championship years. And people are crying about Isaiah Thomas. Like, what, you know, like, what are we doing? Isaiah, buddy, let it go. Oh, gee, was there even a documentary? I didn't even know about it. No, you were mentioned in it. You were given an appropriate amount of time for what you contributed to the history, the entire history of the Boston Celtics. Now, if you want to tell me the last two episodes were rushed a little bit, I'll listen to you. I think they kind of were. But all in all, I don't think Isaiah Thomas got shorted out of any time he was due. In that thing. I thought that was silly. Anyway, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll continue with your Celtics phone calls. We're doing all Celtics here for the first 2 hours. Right, for the 2024-25 Boston Celtics, a team we expected so much more from, and what may be a crumbling dynasty that wasn't. They're still in the dynasty window. Okay, so it's not completely out of the question. And by dynasty, I'm talking about three championships in 5 years. We all agree that's what a dynasty is, right? That's the bare minimum of what one can be. By the way, LeBron James, never part of a dynasty. He never was. Miami won two in a row. That's it. He won the one in Cleveland and the one in L.A. Never part of a dynasty. He went up against the dynasty. The Golden State, they were a dynasty for sure. But LeBron James, all that winning, and not ever part of a dynasty. I just thought that was funny. At any rate, Celtics may not be part of one either. The only teams that really have a chance to, who are still in the dynasty window, is, ironically, Golden State, even though they lost this year. If they win the next two, that'll be 3 in 5 years. They're not going to. But if they win three and if they do that, if they win the next two and go back-to-back, that will be 3 in 5 years, technically. The Milwaukee Bucks are outside of the window. They can't do it. The Denver Nuggets can, and they're still alive in the playoffs. They're playing a game seven tonight against OKC. If they win this year and then win one of the next two, they can be a dynasty. And for the Celtics, they are going to have to win two out of the next three in order to be a dynasty. Which, let's be honest here, without Jason Tatum, and it's not even so much that Jason Tatum's not going to be available next year. It's what's Jason Tatum going to be, period. What is he going to come back and look like? And I thought that Keith and Jones did a fantastic job of breaking down all the players, especially like the big guy, you know, the big name players who have had ruptured Achilles over the years and what they came back and looked like. And it's not pretty. Durant came back, but he was never first-team All-NBA again. He was never, you know, the same. He was never as good. And he was older, too, so that's part of it. Jason Tatum's also going to age. You know, he's going to be approaching 30 here very soon. There was Dominique Wilkins, ruptured his Achilles, came back, had a great year, and then started to tail off after that. These guys like Boogie Cousins, ruptured the Achilles, was never the same. Guys like Klay Thompson, missed an entire season, didn't really do much the year after that either, got hurt again. Is now back with Dallas, but not the same player, to be sure. There are not a lot of examples of players that had this injury, came back and got back to the point that they were pre-injury. To what extent, I guess that varies, and we'll see what that is for Tatum. Tatum's in phenomenal shape. One of the better conditioned athletes the Celtics, I think, have ever had, honestly. And to see him go down like that on such an awkward play, too. Non-contact injuries, those are the worst. But to see him go down that way in the midst of a series that was already going very badly for this team was really just the extra kick in the jewels, wasn't it? If the Celtics had just lost to the Knicks and Tatum hadn't ruptured his Achilles, we'd be looking to the future much more optimistically. Well, you know, that was pretty bad, but you know what we'd be talking about is Joe Mazzulla. I think that would be the spotlight would be on him much more. The Tatum injury gives him a little bit of cover. I don't know if he deserves it, but it does give him a little bit more cover. If they had just lost and Tatum, you know, played, and they just kept on going and they lost the series like normally without a big ruptured Achilles, then I think more attention would be getting paid to Joe Mazzulla right now. And I think that Joe Mazzulla deserves some of that attention. I started to really change my tune on him while that documentary was playing. I thought his little vignettes in the documentary were great. And it seemed like he really was understanding of the history of the team, where he fits into it, where this group fits into it, all that. And I thought that was cool. But that is very quickly sort of, I don't know, I want to say it's gone completely the other way. But after they lost those first two games and he came out and he's like, you got to embrace the darkness. It was like, all right, shut up, Joe. You know, like, enough with the shtick. What's happening now is really bad. Like, this is embarrassing what's happening right now. Enough with the Batman crap. You know? We're just going to embrace the dark. Like, that's cute. You know, that's cute when you're winning. People like that stuff when you're winning. It's like Belichick, you know? When you're winning Super Bowls, then no one cares if you snort and spit in their face. If you're winning championships, no one cares if you want to be the Batman villain during your press conferences. Fine, go ahead. That's just Joe being Joe. We don't care. Not quite as charming, I guess, when you're blowing 20-point leads in the second half. And when they come to you for answers, just embrace the darkness. Okay, all right, Joe. Well, great. How'd that work out? And I'm not trying to blame this all on Joe. But I think Joe has to answer for some things. Joe has to answer for the nonstop barrage of three-pointers in those first two games, because that was preposterous. I understand that the analytics say what they say, but he took it to an extreme. He took it way, way beyond anything. You know, like, I mean, it was ridiculous. It was a ridiculous couple of games, especially considering they couldn't throw the ball off a boat into the water. He has to answer for that. He has to answer, I think, for their inability to really execute down the stretch in fourth quarters in close games. I'm still not seeing the improvements on that I was hoping to see. He has to, I think, in some ways, answer for the rotations and the bench. I don't think that ever really clicked. And I don't know that he was able to, except for like the Cornette game, I guess you could say, well, he pulled the right string there. Yeah, okay. And then Cornette started game six. And Cornette was not ready to start in that game. And I like Luke Cornette, but he was not ready to be a starter in that game. Karl Anthony Towns had him going for pump fakes 35 feet away from the basket. He was getting rejected by OG Anunoby. He looked like Sean Bradley out there. For you younger listeners, Sean Bradley was a 7'6" stiff who played for the 76ers and who was mostly known for getting dunked on by players of all shapes and sizes. It didn't matter who you were. You could have been a 6'2" point guard. If you could dunk, you could dunk on Sean Bradley. Now, I'm not saying everybody was dunking on Luke Cornette, but that's kind of what he looked like. You know, like he was just sort of out there just existing. Wasn't really grabbing a lot of rebounds, wasn't affecting a lot of shots. He had one block in the beginning, but Towns had that nice bank shot to open the game, and it just got worse from there. I mean, it was a bloodbath in the paint, on the boards, all around. There was not one thing you can point to in that game and say, well, at least they did this well. They didn't do anything well in that game, and that's just, it sucks. I want to get to something Jared Weiss wrote, and then I'll get to your phone calls, I promise. So if you're on the line, stay there. We're going to hear about trending for Mitch, and then we're going to get to something Jared Rice wrote in The Athletic about the new NBA, about the second apron and the second apron teams and how hard it is to repeat because of those things. And also the new NBA in terms of analytics and how the Celtics really followed those right down to a T and refused to move off from them even when it wasn't working, and how that affected this disastrous attempt to repeat as champions. We'll get to all of that right after Mitch gets you caught up on what's trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox won 7-6 on a Rafael Devers walk-off home run. That was actually his first walk-off home run of his career. So the Red Sox do stop their four-game skid. Lucas Giolito was shaky, however. He went four innings, allowing eight hits on six runs. The Red Sox are back in action today at Fenway, taking on the Braves at 1:35. Will Fleming and Lenny DiNardo are on the call. The Shaws and Star Market, WEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaws, perfecting the art of fresh. We will kick things off with Dan Ball at 12:30 for the Mass Mutual pregame show. And sadly, we got more injury news for the Boston Celtics as Jaylen Brown has a partially torn right meniscus. He will be evaluated this week to determine if he needs surgery. Elsewhere in the NBA, Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets go to OKC for Game 7 today at 3:30. The winner faces the T-Wolves in the Western Conference Finals. As for the NHL, playoff games last night, the Dallas Stars go back to the Western Conference Finals for the third straight year after beating the President's Trophy Winnipeg Jets 2-1 in overtime on a Thomas Harley OT goal. They will face the Oilers in the Western Conference Finals. And on the east side of the NHL playoffs, the Florida Panthers go to Toronto tonight for another Game 7. And as for the PGA Championship, number one golfer in the world, Scottie Scheffler, has a three-shot lead headed into the final day. My name is Mitch Sabatelli, and that's what's trending.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But I'm not sure how much his unwavering ability to just stick to the numbers. I'm not sure if that did this team many favors down the stretch. I just don't think it did. I know that there is a lot to be said for these numbers and analytics, and I know that when a team wins a championship, everybody tries to chase and be like that team. But I think in the case of someone like Jason Tatum in particular, let's just focus on him for a second. Jason Tatum is a very diverse scorer. He can score a lot of different ways. He's a great offensive player, great rebounder, can distribute the ball, playmaker. He can kill you so many different ways. And in the first two games of the series, he didn't do any of that. It was just there, bombs away the whole time. Hacking Mitchell Robinson, which made no sense. And bombing threes. It was weird. It was like, when I see what they were doing with Robinson, it made me think of like Hack-a-Shaq back in the 90s and like 2000s. When he was on the Magic and then later on the Lakers and he could never shoot free throws. No, it's a strategy. Just go up to Hack O'Neal and put him on the line. Okay. That's like an old-timey kind of strategy. That's like a 30-year-old strategy. And now here the Celtics are doing it in a game where it doesn't really seem like they needed to. For a guy who the Knicks weren't so dependent on that they needed to leave him out there all day. Like, the Lakers needed Shaq out there all the time. Orlando needed Shaq out there all the time. They needed him on defense. They needed him on offense. They couldn't take him off the court to avoid him getting fouled. He had to be out there. Mitchell Robinson is like the third big on this team, you know, on this Knicks team. They don't need Mitchell Robinson. You foul Mitchell Robinson four times, and then on the fifth one, you're about to go in the bonus, and they take him out and put in Anunoby, who can shoot free throws just fine. It made no sense. And it was such a weird contrast to all this other weird new-agey crap that they do, which is mostly just sprawl ball, just chucking threes, spamming three-pointers. That's what you saw. And a lot of people complained about it and have been complaining about it. Some people think it's ruined the game. I don't know about that. I don't think it's ruined the game at all. But I think this year they took it a little too far. This year they took it to a height and extreme that was ridiculous. And I kind of get why they did it. Last year the Celtics had three players, I think, maybe more than that. But they had three players who were considered the best three-point shooters in the league, basically, statistically. They had, percentage-wise anyway, not in terms of like totals, but percentage-wise, they had some of the best shooters in the league. Jrue Holiday shot 43%, Sam Hauser 42%, Al Horford 42%. Derek White 40% from three. They were a great three-point shooting team last year with some standout guys. And rather than sort of fold that into their offense, which is centered around their two wings, neither of whom are phenomenal three-point shooters, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are not great three-point shooters. They're good. They're not terrible. All right? It's not like it's, you know, it's not like it's Luke Kornet out there trying to shoot threes. But they're not Curry and Thompson. They're not, you know, like they're not even Harden and Durant when it comes to threes. And for that to be the core identity of this team led by those two guys, just really, you know, they won games because they were more talented, but it didn't make a lot of sense on its face. It just didn't. You got guys like Horford and Holiday and Hauser and White and, you know, Pritchard who can shoot off the bench, and that's great. It's great to be able to have five guys on the court, Porzingis, five guys on the court who can shoot threes at any given time. But that doesn't mean that that has to be all you ever do. Like, it, you know, like it seemed lazy to me. It seemed like kind of a lazy way of going about it, but you don't question it when they're winning, and especially down the stretch. In March, they were killing it. They were breezing through these teams in March. They coasted into the playoffs. I think they lost, like, what, three games in those 2 months? It was ridiculous. They were killing it. So there was nothing really to complain about. But then, you know, when it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And, you know, you can sort of look back on it now and say, well, wait a minute. How much sense does it make to have a team with this year, by the way? I mean, they weren't the same. 3-point shooting wise. As a team, they took a collective step back. But why now are we centering the strengths of the role players and not the two main guys? Why is that now what this team is, what their identity has become? Well, that's because what the numbers say. Well, okay. How about the numbers of dollars in the max contracts? What do those say? Because there's hundreds of millions of them now invested into two guys who are not great 3-point shooters. And yet, here now the Boston Celtics are setting records for shooting threes, 3-pointers attempted. And not only are they setting those records, it's like a core tenet of the team and what they're all about. I don't know that you undo that. I don't know that you can rewire Joe Mazzulla's hard drive that dramatically. But you're going to have to because, you know, now all you got's the role players. Bob is in Londonderry at 617-779-7937. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show. I had a question, you know, several years back after the debacle of the Bruins.
2019?
I'm always kind of negative, but yep.
Against the Blues,
yeah. Happened,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm you know, I'm a realist, and I sort of told everybody, and I've called your station, it's on tape, and I said, I don't pretend to know everything, but in my opinion, I said, you know, if you are Red Sox fans, Bruins, Celtics, the four major teams, Patriots, I said, I'm amazed how everybody is so optimistic, and I said, you're not going to see anything, that this is it, it's finished, and it's going to go many, many, many years till you ever see any resemblance of what we saw in the past. And you got to admit, I was 100% right, with the exception last year. And I'll admit it, the Celtics proved me wrong, and I'm glad.
Mm-hmm.
But I also said very straightforward to all you people, they only won because they played JV talented cheer. They had a very easy, they're not the first, they're not the last. Well, let's look at it now when reality settled in. And for defending champions, yes, they had some time in the season. They looked good, but they looked real weak and soft. Even when they were, you know, they just didn't even have it. And I think now, as history goes on, I think a lot more people are going to sit there and say, yeah, they won it mainly because they had no competition. And as for Tatum, good luck, because you're going to need it. Good luck. Do not hold your breath on the guy. I don't think you're going to see him come back to the point of what you think. And in my own opinion, he's a damn good ball player, but he fails a lot when you need him. So I'm not overly confident in him. But that's just my take. We'll see what happens.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. Bob in Londonderry. I love Londonderry. Londonderry is, I always say, it's my favorite place to buy fireworks. There is not a better town in America to go buy fireworks than Londonderry, New Hampshire. I'm not joking. Every time I go to Londonderry, on my way up to the lake, and I spend a lot of time in the lakes region, especially in the summer. Every time I go up there and I need fireworks, I stop in Londonderry, and I tell you, I get the best customer service I ever anywhere. And I'm not like some fancy guy going shopping at like high end places or anything. So I'm, you know, like I'm not used to the doting service in my shopping experience. I'm usually at like a box store or something. I'm a Target, something like that. When I go to, and I wish I could even tell you the name of the places because I can't. There's like three of them right off the exit in Londonderry. If you go there and you get the fireworks, the people who work in these places are amazing. I always stop. Whenever someone calls from Londonderry, I stop and talk about how amazing the fireworks salespeople are. And I'm not kidding. You walk in there, they have all sorts of deals for you. You buy this one, you get that one for free. You buy these two, you get that one for free. This is what happened. They describe what the fireworks look like with beautiful detail. They throw in all these extra. It's the best. I'd imagine that's what it's like when, like, women go buy, like, a fancy bag or something, you know, when they go to like the Chanel store and there's someone like, oh, yeah, look at this. Oh, that's so great. Like that's, I'd imagine that's what it feels like. It feels like going to Londonderry and buying fireworks. I think it's basically the same thing. Anyway, where were we? Right. The Celtics. Terrible, terrible Celtics. And their terrible future. And all the rest of that. As far as what Bob and Londonderry had to say, I remember that season, 2019, with the Bruins. And that hung over the rest of the summer in Boston. It was 2019, so that was the year after the Red Sox won the World Series, and then their 2019 was real disappointing, so you didn't have much really to go with for them. Sound familiar? And when the Bruins lost that Game 7, it really left a mark. People just tuned out. People were just like, ah, I can't, you know, like that. I don't even want to think about sports right now. And for people like me, that's the worst possible news you can have. Right? I mean, it really is. But I feel like this Celtics loss here, this whole thing with the Knicks, is akin. It's close. It's in that same ballpark. I hate to put it that way, but it is. Not only did you fail to repeat, the future of the team is now very much up in the air. And that is something that, even if you expected them to maybe, you know, lose a game or two, even if you thought that they weren't going to repeat as champions, even if you thought that it would be difficult to go back to back, we still thought that this was going to be a team that would be competitive and finals contenders on a yearly basis for the at least the immediate years of Brown and Tatum. Right? I thought that. We all thought that. You look around the East, who else really is there? Cleveland? Cleveland got knocked out by the Pacers. By the way, I think the Pacers are going to the finals this year. I think they're going to beat the Knicks. I don't know if they can beat any of the teams out West, but I think the Pacers are going to the NBA Finals this year. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Mitchell, I know you're just talking in my ear. You're going to have to help me out. Who is on line two?
Line two, we got Matt in Rhode Island.
Matt is in Rhode Island on line two. Matt, go ahead.
Arcan.
What's up?
Hey, what's up? What's up, Arcan? Terrible game six, non-competitive. But here, I got two things. One, the guy that bought the team from the private equity firm, he's been saying the whole time, I'm going to keep things as is, blah, blah, blah. I mean, we knew things were going to change, but this is a total setup for some guy in private equity to just, you know, sell out and just try to maximize the profit based on the fact that he just paid, what, $7 billion for this franchise. Second of all, Arcan, I mean, they had a lot of talent, obviously. I don't think Joe Mazzulla is the guy who's going to coach like a middling NBA team and like get much out of the players. I mean, he never differentiated the regular season from the playoffs. I mean, this whole analytics thing is just way too much. I like the guy. He's quirky. He's funny and all, but like I don't think he's not the guy. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, you might be right about that. Thanks for the call, Matt in Rhode Island. I appreciate it. There's the very real matter of next year, and what is next year going to be? Is it going to be a bridge year? Can you have a bridge year in the middle of what was supposed to be a dynasty? I mean, is that even possible? As far as the new owner gutting the team, I don't think he's going to gut anything. But I also don't think it would be the worst thing in the world to start retooling around the Jays now. Why not? Holiday? Okay, see ya. Thanks for everything. Porzingis? Do we stick with Porzingis? How can you stick with Porzingis? They don't even know what's wrong with him. Has there ever been a guy with an illness that went on this long and no one can tell you what it is? I'm not saying we got to pry into his files or anything here, but come on. It's not so bad that he can't wear a uniform and he can't play for 14 minutes. Then what the hell is it? At some point, this whole thing is just getting ridiculous. Like, all right, if it's so bad that he can't play, then I'll back. I don't need to know. All right, if it's that bad, it's keeping him off the floor, and he doesn't want to talk about it, fine. If he's there and he's in uniform and whatever he has, he's out there playing with his teammates and the opponents, and he's in the building with the 20,000 people or whatever. You can't know what it is. We can't know what it is. You don't know what it is. A mystery illness. This is the National Basketball Association. You got some pretty good doctors. Not one of them can identify what the hell's wrong with this guy. And if it's something so bad, why is he playing? And if it's not so bad, then why can't you tell us? Oh, that's annoying. And it also makes it difficult to discuss what sort of future you're expecting with him. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't even know what's wrong with him. How am I supposed to know that? So, I personally would say no. You know, Porzingis, again, it was great. And, you know, the honeymoon period with Porzingis was tremendous. And they won a championship. And he was part of it. But if you're worried about this guy coming in and gutting the roster, I don't know what you're worried about. That Porzingis and Holiday aren't going to be here? Oh, well, okay. I mean, I was expecting that to happen, even if the Grospecs were still here. You don't just have to keep running it back because you want to. You run it back because you think that this exact group can repeat as champions. And I thought this group could have. They had all the tools to be able to do it, but they came up horribly short. You're going to be without Tatum almost all of next year. I don't know what Jaylen Brown, when he's going to be ready and what his recovery is going to look like. And I have no idea about Porzingis. I have no idea about Holiday. It's very uncertain. It's a very uncertain future. And the immediate future is not only uncertain, but it's looking kind of rough. It's the Eastern Conference, so I doubt they'll be outside the top 10. You know, but the fact that it's even a question, the fact that you even consider something like that, is this going to be a team in the play-in tournament next year? Yeah, probably. Probably. Who's this in Warwick here, Mitch?
This is Tom in Warwick. He has an issue with Bob.
Okay, Tom in Warwick. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's actually George from Warwick.
George.
Yeah. Oh, my bad. My bad.
Great name, George. Hey, that's my son's name.
Hey, it's a great name. It's a great name.
Sure
it's
is.
My dad's name and my dad's dad's name.
Very so good. You know what? It's a great name and it's a good president. There was three presidents named George and one of them was pretty good. Go ahead, George.
Absolutely. Yes. Hey, you know, I'm just laughing here, enjoying the show, but I'm laughing at Bob. At least he's getting his math a little better. Yesterday he popped on the show and said he was 120% right, except this one year. Now, today, he's 100% right, except for this one year. Uh-huh. So he made me laugh. Thank you. But, hey, listen, I'm Porzingis. I don't know the NBA as much as you or say, my friends, but friends who I regard as in the know mm-hmm. said, if they could keep who fits better on this team with JT going forward, and this is before all this kerfuffle and stuff, and they all say to a man, Porzingis' game is better than JB's game with JT because of how he can space the floor, his outside shot, his rim protection, etc. Now what I find interesting, Arkan, is you remember a few years ago they were talking about do we need to split the J's?
Right.
Now I thought if that ever happened, it would be JT that would stay here, not JB. So in a way it's going to be fascinating next year that unintentionally, they've split the J's, so you're going to get a chance to see how JB can lead this Celtics team as if he, you know, was spun off and had to lead his own team.
Yeah.
And on the second apron thing, tell me if I'm wrong. I've listened to the station a lot. I think there's a drop there from Wick Grosbeck, who said on your station he does not feel any team will go more than 2 years on the second apron. So, yes, I agree with you. Changes are going to come. It's going to be a fascinating year, this little gap year leading to JT's return.
Yeah, it will be interesting. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. By the way, I just checked the text line. People hate Bob in Londonderry. Bob in Londonderry just called with that same thing yesterday. I missed it yesterday. I was busy yesterday. I didn't get to listen to the station as much as I usually do. I usually listen basically all day and night, okay? So I missed it. I missed part of it yesterday. I don't know what Bob said. So I can't speak to that. I thought that was a good call. It was impassioned. I didn't agree with him, but, you know. What, I got to agree with everybody? Let's take a break here. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. I don't want to take a complete basketball break yet. Because there was another basketball story that I saw yesterday that caught my attention in the WNBA of all places. So we'll take a quick pause on the Celtics. If you have Celtics calls, you want to call in with them, I'll continue to take them. But I do want to touch on this Angel Reese case.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Caitlin Clark, first games of the year. It was both teams' first game, I think. Both Indiana and Chicago. Indiana, of course, the Caitlin Clark's team. Chicago Sky, that's Angel Reese's team. It was a good night for the Fever. They beat Chicago 93-58, but all anyone's talking about was that one play. Reese gets the ball on the low post and puts it on the ground, goes to go up, have an easy layup, and Clark wraps her up. Doesn't really throw her down, but she was going up, and she sort of holds her down, and she stumbled and fell. And Reese pops up and goes after Clark. And it wasn't a bad foul. I mean, I've seen much worse fouls in the WNBA and the regular NBA. I mean, it wouldn't even been called a foul in this in the NBA playoffs. They're beating the hell out of each other this year. But it was a foul. I mean, it was definitely a foul. And it was a hard foul. And as soon as I saw Reese pop up and start going after Clark, it hit me. This is all part. There's a reason these two teams are playing each other in the first game of the year. There's a reason they wanted those two on the court together. And if you think that that was all just a basketball play and there was no coordination of any kind by anybody there, I think you're very naive. I think the WNBA realizes what they have here. They have something that'll get people talking. Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese going at it like that, that's a talker. It is. I don't particularly care about it because it was the first game of the year and it wasn't really that dramatic of a play and nothing actually happened. I think Reese got a technical and one of Clark's teammates on the Fever got one too, and that's it. No one got ejected, no one got fined, no one's getting suspended, nothing's happening. And Reese really didn't have much of a leg to stand on. I mean, it wasn't that bad of a play. She gets fouled harder than that, and she fouls people harder than that, like, all the time. That was all about, let's get people talking about the WNBA again. The season's starting. Let's get this thing going. And I get it. I understand why you'd want to do that if you're the WNBA. I'd understand why you'd want to get your names in the headlines and have people talking about something that happened. The only thing I would caution is that when it comes to the Reese Clark thing, it gets pretty ugly. The discourse gets pretty ugly. And I know I'm chronically online, so that's probably just more of a me thing. But in general, I just think that there's sort of, it's not even really underlying anymore. It's this kind of, you heard Jones and Keefe talking about it every time something happens with Caitlin Clark, and you know who gets excited. You know, and it's kind of true, but it's not all of them. It's just, it's the idea that when something like that happens, it's an excuse for people who, not that they need much of one, but just to be racist. I mean, that's basically all it is, you know? And I think Angel Reese looked like a jackass yesterday. I mean, she did. But people were getting all in her cave when she was doing the ring thing to Clark in the tournament. And it's like, well, wait a minute. We can't, not allowed to taunt anymore? Taunting is beyond the pale. Okay, that's interesting. You must have hated the Patriots all those years, doing the lights out dance right in Merriman's face with the Chargers and all that. I must have really hated that, huh? You must hate Jason Tatum blowing a kiss to the fans when he hits a big three. Or Steph Curry doing the night-night thing and all that. Like, right? Like, we all hate that now? Is that what we're saying? Or you just didn't like it when Angel Reese did it. Like, that's sort of what that whole thing I thought was a little ridiculous. But now it's like, okay, they're milking this. This thing's, they're milking this pretty good. And I think that's exactly what you saw there last night. And listen, for the WNBA, I hope it works. Bird and Magic save the NBA. Maybe they're hoping Reese and Clark's going to do the same thing for the WNBA. Maybe, maybe not.
This might be one of the best one-on-one rivalries right now in sports.
Might be one of them, yeah. And by the way, Caitlin Clark had a triple-double. She was awesome. Angel Reese had 12 points and 17 rebounds. Not quite as awesome. She's kind of a, when you watch her play, like, she gets a lot of her own rebounds. She piles up the rebounding stats, but a lot of them are like, it's her own rebound because she missed a layup and then she gets it back and goes back up, misses that, comes back down with it, goes back up, missed that one too. It's like the old AC Earl rebounds. If for the Celtics fans of a certain age, remember AC Earl? He was a first round pick back in that dark 90s time when everything was just awful with the Celtics. He get the ball in the post, put it up, miss it, get his own rebound, go back up on the other side, miss that too, get his own rebound. So he's got like 2 points and four rebounds in one play. A little bit of that with Angel Reese. Anyway, 617-779-7937. The point I'm trying to make here is we're all getting played. This is all reality TV, Vince McMahon, WWE type stuff. And I think it's working because I'm talking about it. Let's go to Steve in Fall River. He has a thought on the Celtics offseason before we change the subject to the Red Sox. Go ahead, Steve.
I'm going to do that because that's really what my call is.
Oh, Steve, a Trojan horse.
You've got the Celtics. You've got this. I'm not just a typical caller. You know that.
That's true. We know that, Steve.
I don't have one. I never have one thing. It's always intertwined.
Uh-huh.
Jason Tatum snaps his Achilles tendon.
Mm-hmm.
The Celtics hurtle from the top perch in Boston sports hierarchy. Who immediately takes their place? In typical fashion, you're going to have people say it's the Patriots because they're overestimating everything that's going on in the offseason. They're overestimating Mike Vrabel's impact, Will Campbell's potential, all these factors. Meanwhile, it's clearly the Red Sox. I'm going to leave the Bruins out of it because they're in a bona fide rebuild.
Yeah, true.
It's clearly the Red Sox. They have the pieces. They have the pieces. Now they have to put them in place. It's not like it's great. I'm not telling you they're ready to make a run for the World Series, but this is the state of Boston sports we're in. And again, in typical fashion, we've completely inflated and taken the best course for the Patriots, which is typical. You know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I know that, Steve. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Call is kind of all over the place. He did say he's not a normal sports radio caller. He's right about that.
Yeah, he was trying to get all four sports in one shot.
Well, fishing for compliments there a little bit, but I understand it. Texter, by the way, says, Arcan, you sound dumb. They give Reese all that crap because the players you mentioned are very good. Reese is a bum and shouldn't be talking or taunting. I mean, she's a very good rebounder, you know? It's not like she's useless out there. She's not as good as Caitlin Clark, and I hope that's not what people took away from it, is that they're like Bird and Magic in terms of ability. Caitlin Clark's way better than Angel Reese. Caitlin Clark's one of the best players in the league. She's right up there with Collier and Wilson and, you know, the stars of the WNBA. And she was right away. She'll continue to get better. But I don't think that, that's not what I meant when I said it's the rivalry. It's just that they played each other in college. There's definitely a dislike there. I mean, I don't think Reese likes Clark. But I don't want them to like each other. You know, like, who needs to? They all got to be friends. Like, that's one thing I don't like about the NBA is how friendly everybody is all the time. All these kids grew up and playing in AAU together, playing in, you know, this five-star camps, and they all become friends and they get to know each other. No actual rivalries ever really build. They're all just, you know, they're all just sharing the love. Everybody's happy. I like it better when they're not happy. I like it better when there's some bad feelings. Even if they're manufacturing it like they're doing in the WNBA. I like that. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Last hour here. It's not even a full hour. We're just doing a half hour leading up until Red Sox pregame with, I believe, Joe Weil. Is he on pregame? I believe he is. So we'll have that for you at 12:30. In the meantime, we'll talk a little Red Sox, who I was prepared to come in here and bury just right next in a plot right next to the Celtics. If they didn't pull that game out last night, they did, though. And Rafael Devers with a big walk-off. Hey, maybe we should leave that guy at DH. We'll get to that with your phone calls right now. It didn't seem like he had it. I mean, he gave up three home runs in the first three innings. So, I mean, it clearly wasn't his best. Olsen hit one. Ozuna hit a bomb. And then Baldwin comes up. Ozuna's on bait. Baldwin hits one out. And I said, I can't with this right now. These guys are going to get smoked in this game. And wouldn't you know it, they turned it around. They fought back. Jaron Duran hit a home run, which he hasn't done a lot of this year, in the third inning. Devers with an RBI single in the seventh. Bregman, an RBI double, made it 6-4. Duran with a two-run single in the eighth to tie it up. And then Rafi Devers, what you just heard right there, a hanging curveball. When I say a hanging curveball, I mean, I think you could have hit that one, Mitch. I don't think I could have.
Oh, yeah, 420.
You probably could have.
Right to center.
I would have popped it up. But I think you could have taken that one right over the light tower. That thing was a meet the ball. But one way or another, Rafael Devers sent everyone home happy. And for the Red Sox, I'm not going to overreact to one win, just like I don't overreact to one loss. This is still now part of a very tough stretch for this team where they've, prior to, had lost four in a row. And I think that when you look at this team and sort of the sum of its parts, there's been a lot of good moments like this. I was surprised that was Devers' first ever walk-off home run, too, by the way. First ever, really? Okay.
I was shocked. I put that in the trending there. I had no idea. I mean, he had a lot of big hits early, but I guess it makes sense because, like, the one-off Chapman.
That was Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, that wasn't a walk-off, but he had a lot of big home runs early in his career.
He's had many game-winning home runs and game-winning hits, but not walk-off. It's the first one.
I think he has had a couple walk-off off the Green Monster, too, but not over.
Yeah. For this team, when you look at the sum of its parts, it's a team that's still second place in the AL East, although that was not, they're tied basically with Toronto. So for everyone saying, well, all this is happening and they're still in second place in the AL East, I didn't like that at the time. I like it even less now. I don't care if they're in second place in the AL East. The AL East sucks right now. Okay? The AL East is not some cool, wow, look at that. They're still second place in the AL East. Who cares? The AL East isn't some impressive place. The AL East blows. And the Red Sox are right now two games out of the wild card. And there's four teams that are in it right now. The Twins, the Guardians, Royals, and Rangers are all wild card teams. That's three teams in the Central. If you're in second place in the Central, fine. I'll say that's something. That's impressive. The teams in the Central that are in wild card teams are 5-6 games over 500. You, Red Sox, are under 500. And teams like the Twins have won 10 straight. There's teams out there that are leapfrogging you. And there's nothing really you can do about it because you can't get out of your own way. And I know I'm saying this after a walk-off home run. I'm not saying they can't ever win a game. But they took 2 out of 3 from Kansas City. They get swept by Detroit, and that first Braves game against Chris Sale was brutal. It's a brutal loss. So I'm sorry if I'm not going to – I said this a while ago, and I'm sticking with it, even now as they sit under 500. If this Red Sox team can win 5 games in a row, I'll start talking about them differently. That's what it's going to take. And when I say talk about them differently, I know I do the pre and post game. I talk about them how I talk about them in those. When I'm talking about in like Red Sox review, I'm talking about mostly the way I think about them, not even so much how I talk about them. I'll start thinking about them differently. If you can just win 5 in a row, can you do that? Can you win 5 in a row? Can we get a 5-game win streak here in Boston? You've done it already. You've had one already this year. It was early on in April when you swept the Cardinals. And since then, you haven't really gotten too close. I guess they had the 1 4-game win streak, but I want 5. I want 5. Can you give me 5? It's like me with my son. Give me 5. My son, who, by the way, is going to be going to his first Red Sox game today. George Arcan will be in the building for the first time ever. I'm pretty proud of that. I think that's pretty cool. Maybe I'll bring him up, bother Will. Who's doing the game with Will? Is Will and Monaco? Do we know who else is on the call?
It's DiNardo.
Lenny DiNardo. Very nice. And by the way, I need to issue a correction. Dan Ball is on pregame, not Joe Weil. The great Dan Ball. So we can maybe go bother him too when we get to the park. Anyway, big day. Big day in the Arcan household. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to Wally in Fall River, who I always love to talk to. Hi, Wally.
Yeah, what's up, guys? My girlfriend and I watched this whole game, and didn't start good. We said, here we go again, mm-hmm. here we go again.
But you stuck with it, Wally. You're a better man than me. I turned it off.
Yeah, I stuck with it because there's nothing good on TV. But we said, here we go again. They're going to get their brains knocked in again. But it was a valiant effort. But the one that saved this game, when Don Rafael came with 2 men and he struck out as usual, Durant bailed him out. But you know, I really, deep down inside, something's got to give. They got to do something. This team ain't capable of winning, I think, 11, 12 in a row, or 12 out of 15.
Yeah, well, you know, Wally, I didn't think the Twins were able to win 13 in a row. I said 10 before. It's 13. They won 13 straight games. What do the Twins have that should be winning those kind of games? Byron Buxton? Like, the Red Sox have a much better lineup than the Twins.
And Correa and Buxton are hurt.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you look at their lineup, they have, like, just a bunch of nobodies. They had, like, Clemens' kid. That was it.
Yeah, Cody Clemens. Cody Clemens is out there doing it for him right now. Joe Ryan's awesome. I'll give you that. Joe Ryan is nasty
He's a stud,
in the rotation.
Yeah.
So you got a guy there who you certainly can feel good about. But the rest of it, Bailey Ober, Chris Paddock, is Lopez even pitching? Like, you know, like, I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't think that the Twins, that's a team right there that has gotten red hot. And they got red hot right after they played you, ironically. Right after that, they just would not lose. They will not lose a game. They're running everybody over with Ty France and Harrison Bader and Trevor Larnach. And, like, you know, like, what they don't, there's no reason why that team should be doing what they're doing. And you should be where you are, unable to put together any kind of sustained winning like that. It's just, it makes no sense. It really makes no sense. The Cardinals just won 9 games in a row. You killed the Cardinals. You're better than the Cardinals. You're better than the Twins. Why can't they shake out of this? What is holding them back? I know it's different things all the time. It was Chapman the other day. It's been the bullpen and Justin Slayton and Garrett Whitlock and whoever else. Everybody except Liam Hendricks, ironically. Greg Weissert, he had a bad couple games. Everyone in the bullpen in the past 2 weeks has crapped themselves, except for Liam Hendricks. Ironically, the offense was the problem early on in the year. Only Abreu and Campbell were hitting. No one else could hit. Now the offense is doing fine. They still have some questionable late inning situational hitting, but, you know, that's a lot of teams you can say that about. The starting pitching has become very hit or miss. Giolito was not good yesterday. He settled down after the first couple innings, but he wasn't good. Tanner Houck, I'm not sure what to make of him and how many more starts he's even going to make, period. Hunter Dobbins, I think, is a nice surprise, but you wonder how long he's going to keep it up before the film starts to come out on him and teams start hitting him a little more. You know, it was a night he put up a good fight against Scooble there, but, you know, eventually, I don't know. I mean, we'll see. We'll see with Dobbins. Maybe I'm wrong. But starting pitching wise, you have some guys that you can count on and some guys that maybe you're not so sure about. A lot of question marks there as well. The bullpen riddled with question marks. And for some reason, none of these questions ever all get answered at the same time. You just said it. The Twins, all their players are hurt. Correa's hurt. Buxton's hurt. Castro's hurt. They have all the most of their important players are hurt.
The thing is with the Twins, though, is they make the playoffs and then they're always first round out.
It's true.
And
that's been going on since I was like in high school.
It's been forever. But I think the Tigers are actually legit this year. But
yeah, no, I think Detroit's legit, too. That's a legitimate, you know, ace and sluggers in the lineup, good young players, veterans. Like, they have everything there. The Twins don't have all that. The Twins have a pretty good rotation, a pretty good bullpen. I'll say they have a very good rotation, a pretty good bullpen, and a lineup that's meh. The Red Sox, I think, have more talent all across their roster. And they can't even sniff a five-game win streak right now. They can't get up over 500. Like, it's become such a... Carrying over from last year, even, it's become such a frustrating aspect of all of this, is how it's just they never make any progress. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll come back with your phone calls, Red Sox related or otherwise. You want to talk Angel Reese, you want to talk Celtics, final thoughts on them, whatever it is. We'll do that here in the final segment, and then we'll hand things over to Dan Ball and Red Sox baseball. That's coming up here on Sunday Mass.
WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson. Weekdays 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox won yesterday 7-6 on a Rafael Devers walk-off home run. That actually was his first walk-off home run of his career. The Red Sox stopped their four-game skid. Lucas Giolito was shaky, however. He went four innings, eight hits, and six runs. The Red Sox are back in action today at Fenway, taking on the Braves at 1:35. Brian Baio takes the mound opposite Spencer Schwellenbach. Will Fleming and Lenny DiNardo are on the call. The Shaw's and Star Market, WEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. We will kick things off with Dan Ball at 12:30 for the Mass Mutual pregame show. And we got some more sad injury news for the Boston Celtics as Jaylen Brown has a partially torn right meniscus. He'll be reevaluated this week to determine if surgery is needed. Elsewhere in the NBA, Jokic and the Nuggets go to OKC for Game 7 today at 3:30. Winner faces the T-Wolves in the Western Conference Finals. As for the NHL playoff last night, the Stars go back to the Western Conference Finals for the third straight year after beating the President's Trophy winning Winnipeg Jets 2-1 in overtime under Thomas Harley OT goal. They will face the Oilers in the Western Conference Finals. And on the east side of the playoffs, the Florida Panthers go to Toronto tonight for Game 7 at 7:30. As for the PGA Championship, number one golfer in the world, Scottie Scheffler, has a three-shot lead headed into the final day. I'm Mitch Sabatelli, and that is what's trending.
Another rubber is that same sort of thing there. You know, it's Detroit's the best team in the American League. You just took two out of three against Kansas City, one of the other best teams in the American League. They're right up there. They're, you know, they're behind Detroit, but they're over 500, and that's all it takes really to be a good AL team these days. And you handle them on the road. You go to Detroit, Tanner Houck gets bombed in that first game, and then you put up a fight in the last two. At the very least, you can say that. Extra innings, you know. Things happen. It's a good team. They're on a heater. It doesn't matter at the end of the day. A loss is a loss. Doesn't matter how you lose it. But I can say this, that the Red Sox now, much earlier than they've had in a long time, have the undivided attention of the Boston sports fan. I know the schedule just came out for the Patriots. Ooh, schedule day. Ooh. Let's make a video. Ooh. I shouldn't even make fun of it because I know a guy who worked, I think he might have directed the Giants one, and he sent it to me, and I was like, I don't know what this is. I don't know what I'm looking at. The Giants schedule day video was like, you know that show Love Island? You know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about, yeah.
So I don't know the show Love Island. So,
I've seen like tons of previews for it, but yeah, I know the premise of it.
It sounds like there's a girl and there's a bunch of guys on the island and they're all trying to get with the guy. I don't know exactly what it is. But the thing that they did is that for the Giants, they had... the Giants were the girl and like all the potential opponents were guys. Like the Patriots was like a guy from Boston, and you know the Cowboys was a guy from Dallas or whatever. It was just, you know, it was like a whole thing like that. And I was watching it, and it was well done. Like the cinematography was good and everything, but I didn't understand the joke at all. I was like, what is this? And I realized I'm old and lame. That's what it is. I'm old. I don't know.
That's such a niche group though, especially if you're talking about the NFL schedule, you know, maybe people, you got the NFL fan that also is the Love Island fan.
Could be.
It's a niche group.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, I guess Love Island's really popular. I've never watched it. I don't know anything about it. I will say this though. The funniest, and maybe the only really funny one that ever got made, was when the Titans had those people trying to guess based on the logo what the team was. And then they have like a little dun dun dun, and then it was like they would show what the person guessed next to what the logo actually was. That was funny. Like that, I did legitimately thought that was funny. Good cuts, good editing. They got a bunch of dumb people on the street, which made it even better, who didn't know. They're like, that is definitely the Dallas Cowboys. And then it shows a picture of the Colts. It's like, no, nope, that's the Colts, actually. But that happened like over and over and over again. It was great. And that one was really good. I didn't see the Patriots one. I heard Portnoy was in it, I guess. I don't know. I didn't watch it yet. I'll check it out. But I do think everyone's going a little nuts, though, with the schedule thing. All right, a little
I feel like the whole schedule thing's only been big for the last, like, 5, 6, 7 years or so. Like, early Brady years, nobody cared too much about the big schedule release. Now, maybe with social media and everything, and like you said, with all the creativity, maybe that changes it. But
yeah, I mean, they're hiring legitimate Hollywood people to shoot these things now. I don't know how much they're actually paying them, but I know that they're hiring real professionals to make these, you know, elaborate sets and paying all these actors and all these extras and doing all this work. It takes a lot. You know, you got the cameraman, you got the director, you got the grip, you got all these people running around with lights and microphones and stuff like that. It's like a whole thing. But yeah, they're doing it. Anyway, that is all to say that it's going to be a while before we're talking about the Patriots in terms of having the attention of the Boston sports fan. This is the deadest time of the year for the NFL. That's why they have to do things like make weird Hollywood movies for their scheduled day, because no one's talking about them right now. And the NFL is very much star for attention all the time. It needs to make sure everyone's talking about them constantly. Otherwise, how can they have a 24-hour TV channel? You know, it's like that kind of thing. But now, right now, until, I don't know, the end of August maybe? That's a long time, by the way. It's May 18th, folks. Usually, we're not solely focused on the Red Sox until June.
Yeah, usually, you know, we got some, either the Celtics or Bruins still in the playoffs.
Right.
Usually the Red Sox are either good or we're still focusing on the Celtics-Bruins. This is that dead time where now we got nothing going on here.
Last year, the Red Sox got off to basically the same start as they got off to this year. Almost identical. They were 22-22 after 44 games. Like, they were very much on this exact same track, and they didn't start putting it together. And when I say put it together, I mean bust out of the, you know, 500 until like the second half of June. And then they won a bunch of games right before the All-Star break. You remember this? They won like a ton of games going into the All-Star break. I think they were like 10 or something games over 500 going into the break. And then they came out of the All-Star break. They played the Dodgers, and the Dodgers didn't beat them. They beat the hell out of them. Like, the Dodgers ended their season in the first series of the second half. And that was, I don't know how else to explain it. If you remember, it was like devastating how bad the Dodgers beat them.
Yeah, and then you had like the Duran issue there. But as soon as the early part of the season, you know, they would win 5-10 games, then lose 10. That's what I'm waiting for on this season. Like you said, we need that 5-game win streak, and then we can start to coast from there.
That's what I'd like to see. At least to show that you can do it. Show that you can sustain some wins here and there. Instead of this, you know, win one, lose two, win one, win three, win four. It's been going on the entire year. And I'm tired of it. I think we're all very tired of it. We know that you're better than this. We know that the rotation's better than what it's been. We know this bullpen's better than what it's been. We know that the sum of the parts is better than what you've shown. And we don't want to wait all year for this again. And I know last year it took a while. It took until June before they started to click. But you know what? Last year's team didn't do anything. We have bigger expectations for this year's team than last year's team. And the fact that you got the spotlight on you now, you know, no one's looking at the Celtics anymore. The Bruins, please. Patriots schedule day's over. They got nothing until August, basically. Except for, like, you know, workout videos and stuff. You're going to get those videos of Drake May out there, you know, hanging out with like the rookies and stuff like that.
And you know what is the thing too is like usually we have a up and coming quarterback to look forward to in the preseason. Now with Joe Milton gone, everything. What do we have? Josh Dobbs going in for the preseason.
It's not excited about Josh Dobbs? Yeah, about the Josh Dobbs era starting.
He's all on commercials everywhere as a backup quarterback. You know, I mean, we'll see what happens, but we'll see.
We shall see. Anyway, that's just about all the time I have here. This has been Sunday Mass. I'm Reverend Arcand. I want to say thanks to Mitchell Sabatelli back there. Good stuff from him as always. And stick around. Dan Ball, Red Sox baseball, coming your way right now here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI, Brian Bayo, Spencer Schwellenbach. Another rubber match, folks. It's the rubber Red Sox this year.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hosting season's here. Are your Windows guests ready? Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is on now. Save up to 40% site-wide and get a free measure. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is happening now. Shop and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.